If you would turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, we'll be sharing a communion meditation before we receive the Lord's Supper. It's my prayer that during this Lord's Supper, there'll just be a real manifestation of the presence of the Lord in our hearts. I want to thank all those that came to help with the church cleaning yesterday. We had over 50 here, had a great time. And just appreciate all those that served in that capacity yesterday. May God bless you. Don't forget this week, prayer meeting, 10 o'clock Tuesday morning. At 6 Tuesday evening is our youth nursing home ministry. Family worship night at 7:30 on Wednesday. And then Friday at 6:30 is our young married couple fellowship. We have a lot of things coming up. Beginning in 2 weeks is our week of prayer and fasting. We're going to be seeking those things which are above, asking the Lord to move sovereignly in our midst. And then we're going to have a week of revival with our winter warm-up. And then as we look into April and May, we got two great special services. The Riverdale Youth Choir will be here in April, and the Overcomers Choir will be here in May. And we'll be talking more about those, but just lots of opportunities to worship God and invite folks that need the Lord to be in our midst and hear the gospel. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, if you'll stand for the reading of God's word, begin reading at verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, verse 14, it's talking about what God did. He took that handwriting that was against us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His, Christ, cross. You see, we don't sometimes make the full statement. Jesus was nailed to the cross, but so were our sins. Our sins were nailed to the cross when they nailed Jesus to the cross. And I want to preach this morning, and I just trust God will do an eternal work, but I want to preach under this thought. It's nailed to the cross. It's nailed. That's fastened. That's taken out of the way. That's removed. It's nailed to the cross. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit settle in this place. Lord, I pray that you would move. You know the needs of every individual here. You know every struggle, every difficulty. You know every spiritual battle. Lord, you know where every one of us are this morning. I pray you'd minister by the Holy Spirit and speak to us, Lord. May the communion be special. May we feel your presence. Know you're at the table with us, Lord. Lord, be in this place in a special way. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. I don't remember how long ago it was, but the last 4, 5, 6 years, I preached on this text. And I had felt led of the Lord to bring in that cross we use at different skits and things, and I had it fastened right here. And I came to the close of that message, and I had given folks a sheet of paper. And I asked them to write on that sheet of paper. Maybe it was a sin, maybe it was a problem, maybe it was a temptation, maybe it was a sorrow, maybe it was a hurt, maybe it was a bitterness, a grudge. I asked them to write on that sheet of paper whatever it was that was spiritually bothering them that they wanted taken out of the way. And then in that altar service, I asked them to bring it up. Brother Rose was one of them. I had nailing those. He had some big old roofing nails, and he nailed them for people. They would hand them to him, nail them on that cross. I was amazed. I mean, you can call it a lack of faith, but I was amazed at the number of people that lined the aisle. Brother, do you have the photo? I took a picture of it. It took me forever to pull them all out. But that was the result of that Sunday morning when folks said, this is what I want out of the way of my spiritual life. This has been my difficulty. This has been my problem. This has been my struggle. And the cross was literally filled. They're on the back as well. It was filled with these pieces of paper representing what people needed out of their way. I haven't gotten back with folks to see how it has been in their walk of faith after they had that thing nailed to the cross. But I would like to reemphasize that message this morning. It's a different message, but the theme is the same. And say, since truly Jesus has taken all of our sins and all of our temptations and all of our failures and all of our struggles, since He's truly taken them to the cross, don't you believe we can take them there as well? Don't you think we can take them and leave them there at the cross? In other words, to put it even more simply, I'm glad there's a place where we can be rid of sin. We can be rid of temptation. We can be rid of our spiritual struggle. We can be rid of guilt. We can be rid of the attack of Satan. I'm glad there's a place where all of that can be taken out of the way. And it's the cross of Christ. I'm talking about fastened there. You know, the only way I got these pieces of paper off is I used the hammer, because I knew they'd want to use the cross again for a skit. And it took a hammer to pull them out. And I'm telling you, unless you have retaken those things off the cross, they're fastened there this morning. Hallelujah. They're out of the way. That's what He does on the cross. I want to talk to you this morning, the nailing. What really is that nailing? And how was it done? How was it done? Even look at verse 14. He said, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. What is this handwriting? What does that mean, the handwriting of ordinances? You might have had the response I did when you read that. What? What's it talking about? Handwriting of ordinances. Well, ordinances are laws. And so literally, what it's saying, the handwriting of ordinances, these are the laws that we had broken. Laws that were written down, that we broke. In other words, there is a record of every law we have broken. You know, a lot of this is the idea, amen, that there's a list of laws and it's called the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in the first part of the Bible. And this list of the laws are those that must be kept to please God. But we discovered we couldn't keep the list. We couldn't fulfill it. We couldn't do it. We failed. We broke the list of laws. Amen. But you see, this handwriting of ordinances, the reason He used that word is because in Bible times, it stood first of all for a contract made between two parties. And the signatures were there. You said you'd fulfill your obligation. The handwriting's there. You said you'd do it, but it's been broken. You didn't keep your obligations. You put your name to it, but you did not fulfill your obligations. This handwriting of ordinance was also used of a banknote, of a mortgage. Amen. You had borrowed money, but you had not paid it back. Amen. Could I remind us that every one of us in our sins, we had a debt we could not pay. But aren't you glad He paid it for us? Amen. It's written right here in the book. There's a debt. It was not only used for a contract or a mortgage. This handwriting of ordinances was also used as an official signed warrant for a person's arrest. How many knows there was a day the warrant had been signed? We were to be arrested. We were to be sentenced. We were to be condemned to an eternity without God. The handwriting was there. The ordinance was there. And we deserved it. Hallelujah. Now I got to get ahead to say this. But knowing all that, aren't you glad He took the handwriting of ordinances, the broken list of laws, every record of everything we'd done wrong, the arrest warrant, the broken mortgage, the debt. He took it out of the way and nailed it to His cross. You see, it says here in this verse that this handwriting was against us. I will remind us this morning that sin is always against us. Some folks never learn that lesson till it's too late. But sin is against you. It'll never work to your benefit. But it wasn't just the sin that was against us. It was that we were living under the sentence of death and guilt. Amen. We had broken His law, and the handwriting testified of it. That handwriting was against us. It was against our being free. Forever we were under bondage to sin. We were powerless to do right because sin was against us. Sin was against our peace. We never had peace. We could not sing honestly, peace, peace, wonderful peace, because it was against us. Forever the guilt, the condemnation was there. Amen. Sin was against our hope. When we had sin in our heart, we had no reason to believe we could go to heaven. We had no reason to believe that we could have eternal life. Sin was against our joy. Amen. Because of our sin, it sapped the joy out of life and living. Amen. The handwriting was against us. The sin was against us. But look what it says. Not only was that handwriting against us and contrary to us, but it said that God took it out of the way. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. They used to sing a song, "Nothing between my soul and my Savior." I'm telling you, there's nothing more wonderful to realize this morning than to realize there's nothing between your soul and your Savior. He took it out of the way. That means it had been in the way. It was between us and God. It was between us and life. It was between us and heaven. It was between us in peace, but He took it out of the way. That means He bore it away. It's the exact same word in the original use. When John the Baptist saw Jesus coming down the banks of the Jordan, and John the Baptist introduced Him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He has taken away the handwriting against us. He's borne it away. He's taken. Aren't you glad it's out of the way? How did He do it? It said He did it by blotting. See the first of the verse. Blotting it out. To blot out means to be rubbed out, to be erased, to be crossed out, to be marked out. Here we have this long list of sins, of laws that we had broken. But He got busy and He began to erase it. He began to mark it out. We got a different word today beside blot out. Our word is delete. There it is on the computer screen. A large list of laws we had broken, sins we had committed. But God reached down at the cross and He hit the delete button. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God can do that? How many knows He's done it for you? He hit the delete button. He blotted out that which was against us. He took it out of the way. I thought of several instances of that very simple illustrations. He took it out of the way. Have you ever been out to eat and the bill's quite large? And there it is sitting there in front of you. And you're reaching into your wallet to come up with the money to pay it. And somebody reaches across the table. And before you can get your hand back on the bill, they pull it off and said, "I'll take care of this." Hallelujah. We were sitting staring at that handwriting, that list of all we'd done wrong. But there came a hand, a nail-scarred hand, and He got a hold of that list and said, "I'll take that." And just like they'd take that check up to the cashier and make the payment on that. Jesus said, I'll take that handwriting. And He took it. And He marked it paid in full. Hallelujah. He took it out of the way. Hallelujah. I've told you this before, but when we were trying to get the roof on the kitchen out there at camp, I went and talked to a man that sold shingles and told him what we was going to do. He said, I'd like to give you a discounted price. And he said, I want to help you. And he did help. Amen. He found out it didn't have a good way to haul it. He sent men out there. He brought the things out. He set it up. He gave us nails and different things. And that was a lot of squares. I don't remember how many squares, brother. It was a lot on that roof. And it came time to pay up. So I stopped by there, left the camp, stopped by his office. He took me in there. He was on one side of the desk. I was on the other. And he was writing. And he was an itemized list. This so much, this so much, this so much. But instead of going to the calculator, the adding machine, and adding it up, he handed it to me. He said, now this is what it all figures out to. And he just had each price there itemized. And I said, well, how much does that add up to? And he took it back from me. And he wrote there on the total, 000, marked it, paid in full. He said, how's that? I'm telling you, the handwriting ordinance, the list had been itemized. Amen. It was without question. It was there. But he reached out. He took it out of the way and put 000, paid in full. Hallelujah. Oh, that's why we're rejoicing in the communion this morning. It's taken out of the way. Amen. Taken out of the way literally means out of the midst, out of the middle. Sin has always been right in the middle of things, right in the way. Amen. Have you ever tripped over something somebody left in the middle of the room? And you say you left it right there in the middle of the floor. Amen. We got a little, we call them hassocks down south. Footstool. Amen. A little footstool over there. And sometimes people leave it out a little bit. And I know at least twice Sandra's broke her toe on that thing going through there in the middle. Hit it. I mean, it's right in the middle of the way. Amen. I'd move it after the first time. But anyway. And this writing, we couldn't get anywhere in life. We couldn't get anywhere with God. We couldn't get anywhere because it was all right in the middle of, but He's taken it out of the way. Aren't you glad we can come to Him? We can move forward in Him. How did He blot it out? How did He take it out of the way? It tells us He blotted it out. He took it out by nailing it to His cross. The only way our sins were blotted out, taken out of our way, is they were nailed to the cross when Jesus was nailed to the cross. Hallelujah. You see, we have a custom. When we have paid a mortgage, it's stamped paid in full. We've even had milk burning ceremonies where after that thing was paid, they would burn that as a ceremony. This is no longer hanging over our head. But in that culture, when you paid the mortgage, their custom was to take a stake, to take a nail and to show that it had been paid. The one to whom it had previously been owed would take that in the presence of the one that had paid it, and he would punch. He would punch. Hope I can read these now. But he would punch. He would punch that nail, that stake, through that. And that was the mark that it had been paid. It had been paid. I'm telling you, when they took those stakes and they nailed it through the hands and the feet of Jesus, amen, that was the stake going through our debt, going through the list, the handwriting against us. And God marked it paid in full. If you doubt it, look at the nail scars. There they are, just like you can see the hole in this sheet of paper. You can see the holes and the scars in His hands. It was marked paid in full. The list of broken sin is gone. The debt has been paid and we've been set free. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know if I remember it being in my lifetime or the older ones, but even in our culture, they still use that principle. To not too long back, if a check had been paid at the bank, they had a little mechanism with a sharp blade, and they would cut those things, and that cut would show that it had been paid. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I'm glad He did it. I'm talking about more than them punching your ticket to show that you paid. I'm talking about nail scars in His hands. Jesus paid it all. Why did God allow those evil men to nail Jesus to the cross? Because in having Jesus' body nailed to the cross, they were nailing our sins to it as well. I mean, those spikes going through His hands went through my sins, went through my struggle, went through my temptation. They ripped His skin, His bone, His sinew, and fastened His hands to the cross, into that splintery wood. But those same stakes attached my sin there. That's why we can be free this morning. Glory to God. That's why our past can be the past. You don't need to keep taking them down and looking at it. When they put the spikes through His hand, they nailed your past to the cross. I want to talk about the nailing, what that means for us this morning. I've been reading some history books and know he was a minor character in the book. Some of you will remember J. Edgar Hoover, head of the FBI for about 100 years. And what we learned from history is everybody that was somebody or hoped to be someone, he immediately began to gather a file against them just in case he ever needed some leverage. And he had files on big folks like John F. Kennedy and others. And when he wanted, he had that file to hang over their head and to blackmail them. I'm telling you, Satan, he collected a lot of evidence. Anyway, that was just an illustration. But Satan, anyway, he gathered a lot of information. And I'm telling you what, on every one of us, he had a file built against us to hang over our head, to use against us. Satan would love to remind us of our past and our sin. Amen. Satan claims to hold that handwriting of ordinances against us. But we need to tell him when he brings it up, Satan, you may have a file, but I got to tell you something about that file, something about that handwriting. God has already taken it and nailed it to His cross, to the cross, when they nailed His Son there. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for that. And so I want to talk about just practically for a moment what that means for us today. Number one, that sin. What's been nailed there? What's been nailed there? That sin which would reach out and pull you back into darkness and your past life. That's what's been nailed there. That sin which would reach out and pull you back into darkness. There is such a sin for every one of us who have come out of darkness. I believe that. There is that besetting sin, that sin which would reach out if we allowed it and get a hold of us and pull us back. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes it's drugs. Sometimes it's alcohol. Sometimes it's illicitness. But there is that sin that would reach out and pull us back down to darkness. If you know what that sin is, I've got good news for you. That sin has been nailed to the cross. Don't take that hammer and allow Satan to have you pull it loose. Don't let Satan hold that over you and say that's just the way it is. That sin has been nailed to the cross. Even not just that sin, but that sin of years past that arises and says, hey, remember me? Remember how bad a person you were to commit me? Amen. I believe we've all got those kind of sins too. That's why the psalmist said, remember not, O God. Remember not, O Lord, the sins of my youth. Even they're not things we talk about and want to talk about. But every one of us have those sins of which we're ashamed. And if we allow Satan, amen, that sin will rise up and it'll say, remember me? Remember what a bad person you were to commit me? Amen. That sin too has been nailed to the cross. Leave it attached. Leave it fastened. What sin? That sin that Satan says you haven't really, can't be, never were forgiven of. He'll tell you that. No matter how many times you say, I'm sorry, Lord, I shouldn't have done it. No matter how many times the shame comes back and you can't believe you did it. Satan says, there it is. You never were forgiven. You never really got freedom from that. Even that sin that Satan tells you never was forgiven, that sin's been nailed to the... There's greater sins than that beneath the blood. Hallelujah. That sin that rises up when you're about to go to sleep and say, look, God never forgave you for that. It was too bad, too wicked, hurt too many people, was too vile. That sin too has been nailed to the cross. What about it? That sin done to you? You didn't do it, but the sin was done to you. It makes you feel like you could never be whole. It makes you feel like you're worthless and you could never be pure. You see, it's not just the sins that we do. It's the sins done to us. And even in this house this morning, there are those that have had sins done to them. And that sin, it was not their fault. They were not willing party to it. But yet, though it's been done to them, that sin arises and tells them that they've been used, they're impure, they're worthless, they could never be whole. That's a lie. I'm not minimizing what's been done to you, but I know a balm of Gilead. I know a healer. Even no matter what's been done to you, He can come and touch your heart, give you a whole life, let you know that you can be pure through the blood of Jesus. And that sin done against you, you're not worthless. You are worth enough that Jesus died to rescue you from the ravages of those that would sin against you. That sin done to you is nailed to the cross. Hallelujah. Don't get bitter. Just take another glimpse at the cross and say it's nailed there. What about it? That sin someone in your life likes to remind you of. Sometimes it's not Satan. Sometimes it's people in our life never forgetting, always bringing up. The married couple really get into it and do what they never should, bring up the past, and here comes that sin again. An old friend won't forget it, brings it up. Try to do something, somebody brings it up. I'm telling you, that sin too has been nailed to the cross. Hallelujah. What about it? That sin Satan likes to bring up every time you begin to really worship and feel God's presence and make spiritual progress. You're in a service, the Spirit of the Lord is moving. You lift your hands, you feel the presence of God. You're beginning to launch out into new territory. And Satan says, wait a minute, you can't go there. You can't go to that presence of God. You can't go to new territory because you committed that sin in the past. Hallelujah. Keep your hands up. Don't put them down and say, Satan, I know it was in the past, but I confessed it and the blood has washed it away and it's been nailed to the cross. I'm going to move on into the presence of God. Hallelujah. That sin has been nailed to the cross. What about it? That sin you've tripped over many times. You failed in that sin. You said you'd never do it again and yet you did it again. One of the reasons why you keep falling into it is you failed to realize when He nailed it to the cross, He expected it to stay there. You don't have to fall into it every time. You don't have to give in to it every time. You can come to the place in God and He can do the work and say, that sin I'll not commit again. That sin I've got victory over. How can you be so sure? Because it's nailed to the cross and I'm not pulling it off again. Hallelujah. You could add to the list this morning. But I just want to finish by saying we need to do the same things with our sins that Jesus did with them. Take them to the cross and leave them there. Last of all, just briefly, but I want to talk about the nailing. What it meant to our enemies. Look at verse 15. When He nailed them to the cross, He spoiled principalities and powers. And He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In recent testimony, we were reminded from Ephesians that we wrestle against principalities and powers. Even though they're defeated, they keep trying to come back and make our lives miserable, stand in our way, pull us back into a life of sin. But you see, when the dark powers and forces come and claim they still have power over us, we need to remind them that the same cross to which our sins were nailed was the cross that conquered them once and for all. These dark powers would like to come as messengers of Satan and tell us your case is hopeless. God hasn't and can't and never will truly forgive you. You'll never have victory. You'll never overcome. You'll never escape your past and move on into the future. You'll only fail again. These powers will line up. These messengers of Satan will line up in a line to tell us these. But we need to look at them and say, wait a minute. When Jesus was on the cross, He conquered you and destroyed your power over me. And you have no power over my life because of the cross. We don't have to be intimidated. We don't have to be in bondage to dark powers because He conquered them once for all. It said He spoiled them. He stripped them. He took away all their authority, all their power. And He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That it is the cross. You see, later He said He led captivity captive. That means the thing that had us conquered, God conquered it. The thing that held us captive, Jesus took it captive. And sometimes we need to remind the messengers of Satan, we're not the captive here, you are. We're not the conquered here, you are. I'm telling you, the cross is a powerful, powerful thing. Oh, we need to believe the power of the cross. Would you come, music? We can continue to cover these things I mentioned up. We can deny them. We can be tormented and defeated by them. Or we can take them to the cross. I begin to imagine, Brother Jerry, would you just keep a grip on that? Don't let me have it. That day when folks were bringing up those papers to nail at the cross, here it is, it's all written out. But the man nailing the cross reaches to get it. I'm going to take it to the cross and nail it there. But just held on to. Thank you. Hold on to. Even this morning, as the Spirit would like to take this message and bring it down to our heart, you can hold on to that thing that He wants to nail to the cross and refuse to let go. Or you can do something this morning. When He reaches out for that thing, you can just let it go. And let Him nail it to the cross. I know historically it's already been done, but I'm talking about in faith. You're appropriating that. You're making it a reality in your life that it's out of your way. Right there it is. Right in front of you. You stumble over it. You can't get around it. Won't you just let that loose and let Him take it out of the way? Nail it to the cross. Hallelujah. I want us to do something with that in mind with this message. We're going to have our eyes closed. We don't really need to do that. We all love one another. We're going to pray with one another, whatever. But here in a moment, I'm going to have you stand. And I don't have pieces of paper, and I don't have the cross set up this time or hammer and nails. But there's something. Maybe it was one of the things I mentioned. Maybe it was something not on the list. Maybe it wasn't sin. It's just sorrow and struggle and pain and bitterness. But when I have you stand here in a moment, I'm not going to have you come down the aisle. But if there's something like that in your life that you want out of your way, I want you, as we lift our hands, and so just lift your hand up like this, act as if you got that scrap of paper, that handwriting of ordinance against you. And I want you to reach up to God like this and say, here, Lord. And then as you pray and you're saying, God, I want this nailed to the cross, I want you to open your hand and let it go. Just let it go. Hallelujah. Would you do that? Stand all over the building. We're going to lift our hands. If that's you, there's something you need nailed to the cross. Would you lift it up just like this and say, God, take it out of the way. And then as you pray by faith, open up your hand and say, take it, Lord. I'm not going to hold on to it. I'm going to let it go. You've already paid the price. The spikes have already been put through your hands and your feet. I let it go. I release it, Lord. I believe you, Lord. You took it out. I'm tired of tripping over this thing when you've already taken it out of the way. Hallelujah. Blot it out. Remove it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hit the delete button, Jesus. I know you've already done it on the cross, but I believe you for it this morning. For me personally. For me personally. May it so be. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's worship Him. If you're glad He's taking it out of the way, let's worship Him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Spirit of the Lord, move in our midst. If you're here this morning and you're lost, He did it for you too. Hallelujah. He took your sins. Your sins are nailed there. If you'd only believe it, your sins are nailed there. He died for those sins too. Believe it. Trust Him. Look to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I trust this communion will have a fresh meaning this morning as we think of this. Hallelujah. And I'm going to take this again to my notes, and I'm going to leave it up here during communion. You can barely see it from the back, I'm sure. My pen is the spike. My notes are the handwriting, the list of the sins, the law we'd broken, our problems. And I want you to believe when they put that spike through His hands, it went through that list. You can be seated if our service would come. Would you seek the Lord as we serve communion and Sister Becky sings? Brother Norvell, would you come help me?
To see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, tried and beaten then, nailed to a cross. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame for the wrath He stood forgiven. To see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin, every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your bloodstained robe. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath we stood forgiven at the cross. Now the day my pleas, now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows His head. Cut and torn in two, dead are raised to life, finished the victory cry. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame for the wrath we stood forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. This the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost we stand forgiven at the cross. To see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary. Torn sinful men, torn and beaten men, nailed to a cross of wood. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame for the wrath we stood forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin. Every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your bloodstained brow. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame for the wrath we stand forgiven at the cross. Now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes as its master bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life, finished the victory cry. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame for the wrath we stood forgiven at the cross.
have one gear, it's high gear, and sometimes I feel like I rush the point. Because my desire so strongly this morning is somebody would get real release and freedom and victory and healing this morning. Just to know that thing has eternally been fastened to the cross. Nobody has the right to take it down, hold it up. There's real victory and healing in this place. Could we stand as we partake of these elements? I know normally we have individual prayer, but I just want us to offer thanks over both elements. And as we're offering thanks, let healing come to your soul right now and help. Would you do that? Relief and freedom. Let's praise Him together. Thank you, Lord. Give thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you for your body that was broken, that we could be made whole. Thank you for your blood that was shed, that we could be forgiven, set free, delivered, redeemed. Thank you, Jesus. You paid the price. You died. You gave your life for ransom. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Won't you just be healed right now? His body was broken so you could be healed. His blood was shed so every sin could be forgiven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's partake of the bread together. Hallelujah. Let's partake of the cup that symbolizes His shed blood. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise You, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Right now, I want you to believe it. Go ahead, let go of that thing. Hallelujah, just let go of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
He was nailed to the cross for me. He was nailed to the cross for me.
On the cross crucified.
On the cross crucified.
And for me He died. Oh, He was nailed to the cross. Could you sing it with us? Think of that sin, that thing. Oh, He was nailed to the cross for me. Hallelujah. Make it personal.
He was nailed to the cross for me.
On the cross crucified for me. He died. He was nailed to the cross. Let's sing it one more time. Think of that thing. It's there with Him.
He was nailed to the cross for me.
Yes, He was nailed to the cross for me.
On the cross crucified for me.
He died.
He was nailed to the cross.
Oh, hallelujah. That thing is there with Him. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. I just keep getting that over and over. We got to believe it's fastened there. Hallelujah. The Roman soldiers drove the spikes of steel, but God drove something stronger than that through our sin. It can never be unattached if we leave it there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, for we...
Amen.